Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We recognize that the Apostle Paul spends an awful lot of time in the 2 Corinthians epistle defending himself against his critics and even asserting his own credentials as a true apostle of Jesus Christ, a matter that he clearly finds distasteful, but he also clearly finds it necessary, and it does take up a great deal of space in this epistle. And if you are getting a little bit tired of this subject, then I ask you to bear with me, because I'm simply teaching verse by verse, and this is what the Holy Spirit has included for the good of His people, which if you are a Christian, then that certainly includes you, and so it's here for a purpose, so don't weary of it. But Paul makes it clear why he's so fervent about this in verses 19 through 21. Where Paul expresses his concerns, and we've seen a couple of them, and we're going to get to a third one today. But his concerns are, number one, that the Corinthians were favorably impressed by carnal boasters, because the Corinthians thought they were wise enough to evaluate these people without the Word of God as their standard, without the Holy Spirit as their guide, that on their own, they were wise enough to be able to determine who was a reliable teacher and who was not. And what they demonstrated was that they were not wise, they were foolish, because they were giving an ear to, and in some cases even allegiance to, those who are deemed fools by the objective standard of the Word of God, those who will not accept the truth of the gospel, who will not accept the Christ of the Scriptures, who have distorted the gospel and are teaching false doctrine. And yet these Corinthians, who themselves claimed to be Christians, and I think most of them probably were, and claimed to believe the gospel, but clearly didn't embrace it as tightly as they should have, and perhaps didn't understand it as well as they should have, but thought themselves to be much wiser than they really were, and here they are demonstrating their folly. They were favorably impressed by carnal boasters instead of rejecting them as they should, and instead giving their ear to true messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where we are in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 19 and following. Thank you for joining us today on this Wednesday, September 13, and many thanks to those who recognize our financial needs and help us with the costs of the Beacon Broadcast. And so, Paul says in verse 19, "For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise." Ha ha, sarcasm, sarcasm. If you were wise, you wouldn't be doing this, but you think yourselves wise. They were being deceived. We have to be careful. When we think we have it all together, when we think we understand truth accurately, when we think that we've got greater knowledge than others, then we are on the brink of a great downfall. What does the Bible say? When you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. All of us need to maintain a humble spirit, and all of us need to recognize that we could be misunderstanding God's Word, at least in some parts. One of the men now with the Lord that I considered one of the greatest and most able expositors of Scripture that I have known in my lifetime, said on one occasion that he was pretty confident that he probably had about 20% of what he believed was error. Probably only 80% of what he believed was actually accurate according to the Word of God. This is an incredibly knowledgeable man. More knowledgeable and more highly educated and just impressive in every way, but clearly also a humble man. And he derived that impression, he derived that understanding of himself from Scripture to realize that every one of us have a mind and a reasoning capacity that has been damaged by sin, and nobody in this world, in this life, has had that restored 100%. We are in the process of sanctification, and it's going on in our lives, and if we are saved, we are growing in our capacity to understand the Bible correctly and to reason, and some of what we understand from Scripture does require proper reasoning. You can reason yourself to error. Many a Christian has done that. So we have to have correct reasoning as well as a correct understanding of what Scripture teaches, but we have to be able to reason correctly and put different passages together and sort them out and to be able to understand why there are certain passages that might seem to be contradictory to other passages but really aren't if we understand them correctly. But this requires a great deal of analysis and reasoning and logic, and none of us is infallible in those areas. None of us has all this perfectly right, except an apostle of Christ when he's speaking by the authoritative work of the Holy Spirit, who is guiding and guarding him so that what he speaks, in fact, is not just his thinking and his words, but is, in fact, the word of the living God. So if there was anybody in the life of the Corinthians who could be counted on to have the truth and to have it 100% correct, it was the Apostle Paul, who's writing this epistle. And yet Paul is being sidelined by some of them as being inferior while they are exalting false teachers to a superior position and listening to them more than to the Apostle Paul. No wonder Paul is concerned. I remember, and this goes back several decades now, when there was a very popular televangelist on the air, and someone that I thought was pretty mature and pretty knowledgeable expressed to me a favorable impression of this person, and I was astounded. I thought this person, now with the Lord, but I thought this person had better understanding, better discernment than that, but they were being swept along by this person who eventually went to jail. Yeah. He was being dishonest. He spent time in prison and had bilked people out of a great deal of money. And yet here was a saint of God who had been saved for years, who had taught the Bible to others, and yet listened to this person and said, I really like this person. I think he's really got it right. And I wanted to say, and I did say to some degree, but I don't remember since it's been so long ago. I mean, literally 3 or 4 decades ago. But I wanted to say to this person, no, 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 no. That man is teaching error. Don't you know that? But I couldn't have convinced that person of that at the time. They didn't acknowledge that until his scandal was exposed and his dishonesty was exposed and he went to trial and he was jailed because he had bilked people out of so much money. But they were swept along. So I can understand how this could happen to born-again believers in the Corinthian church, because I have seen it happen. I just gave you one example. I could state others, but I've seen it happen to other people that I have every reason to believe are born-again Christians, and I will meet them again in heaven, but who showed very similar tendencies. And because the Corinthians were favorably impressed by carnal boasters, and because the Corinthians were being deceived by abusive charlatans, we talked about that on the broadcast yesterday, verse 20, I'll just try to read it without too much comment, but he says, "For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face." These are all characteristics of cult leaders. We see this in our day. And it was going on with these false teachers in Paul's day. And some of the members of the Corinthian church were falling under their authority and were caught in their net and were willing to give themselves to those who were abusing them when they were unwilling to give themselves to the authority under the leadership of a true apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does this happen? But it does happen. Some of you may be in such a place now. I hope the Lord will show you that and wake you up and get you out. Some of you may be in churches that have abusive authoritarian pastors that everybody kowtows to and stays and takes this verbal abuse, maybe even in some cases physical, but usually just verbal abuse, and ungodly leadership that does not square with the standards of godliness and standards of the activities of a true man of God that you find in Scripture, but they don't demonstrate that at all. And yet some of God's people will sit there and take it. They'll be in these, under the dominion of people like this. We might sometimes call these legalistic ministries where authoritarian leaders are going to lay down the law and lay down the rules and demand this and demand that, and you've got to submit to this and submit to that, things that are not in the Bible at all. And how many of God's people, just like weak, spineless children, just go right along, don't seem to know any better? Well, that's what was happening in the Corinthian church. And so while the Corinthians were favorably impressed by carnal boasters and were being deceived by abusive charlatans, at the same time they were rejecting a true messenger, verse 21, "To our shame, I say, we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also." What is Paul saying? He's saying, I was too weak to abuse you like that. Again, it's a sarcastic way of speaking, I'm confident, because Paul, in truth, would not abuse them that way, whether he was weak or strong. But he says, I guess these other men are a lot stronger than I am, and so they can exert this kind of control over you, and I'm too weak to exercise control. I'm too weak to enlist your loyalty to me. And what Paul is saying basically is, I'm too Christ-like to behave in this way. I'm amazed that you accept this kind of abusive leadership from others, but I'm not going to try to copy that. But I can exercise appropriate boldness as needed, and that's what he is doing in these words that we're studying at this very time. Well, please join me again tomorrow. We'll take it up then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.